The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle, live in studio, waiting to take your calls on anything you'd like to know about. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. That's how you find me here. And when I'm not here, go to RozelleCare.com and send us a note, and one of our guys get back to you. And we try to do it as quickly as we possibly can. If you need to have immediate information, just call the office at 703-698-7117 and tell them that you need to have an answer or two, and somebody will call you and give you an answer or two. We have a special program today, and usually I don't do interviews on any subject other than the things that we want you to know about, but this kind of wraps it all together. Many of you know that, you know, we have in our profession, in applied kinesiology and chiropractic, been spotlighted for a lot of years because of the work that we do and because of work that others have done. But there's a good friend, someone who I have tremendous admiration and respect for, somebody who I've known probably the better part of 35 years, and just wrote a book that just grabbed me, and I'm totally in awe of it. It's called The Tune-Up, Hot Medicine for Everyone. And it's about, you know, people ask me, I said, you know, is there anybody else like you? Well, there are a lot of people like me, but this guy is one of the best that there is from the upper portion of this country in Massachusetts, Dr. Bill Mako. Bill, are you there?
Yes, I am, Tom.
Hey, buddy, thank you for joining me today. This is an exciting book. I had the opportunity finally, you know, to complete it and go through it, and it's like, oh, my gosh. You really hit on everything, my friend. It's outstanding. You take it through, you know, the misunderstandings and things that are happening within our society and healthcare, and you take it through in a symptom approach, and you break it down on all kinds of things, from conditions to ages. Bill, let's start, and you know, we want to go through the program and kind of, you know, touch on a lot of different pieces, but. I know you're in the process of writing other books as well, but this one is like, oh my gosh, you hit a home run with it. What prompted you to do this? You know, the tune-up.
Well, that's a great question, Tom. I think that I realized the need for the increased awareness with our specialty of professional applied kinesiology, having been out there, what is it, about 50 years now?
About 53, 54?
53 or 54. And looking at what's going on in healthcare, it's not pretty. I mean, the Journal of the AMA said last August that we're 37th in world healthcare now, spending twice as much money to be there. And after heart disease and cancer, the third cause of death are prescription drugs taken as prescribed. So I think that knowing that this is a viable, cost-effective, science-based approach, I think that it's time for the world to know the, you know, to be able to put their arms around what it is that we have to offer. I think,
Bill, you got into this field because of things that happened to you. You were seriously sick, and you ended up in a doctor's office that does work that we do, and that kind of launched your whole career and also your insight and the willingness to really explore applied kinesiology and truly functional medicine.
Absolutely. Basically, I was headed for a career as a general surgeon. In my third year pre-med, I had severe right lower quadrant pain one day, which I ended up at the UMass infirmary, and later that day at Cooley Dickinson Hospital in Northampton with a diagnosis of an acute appendicitis. They removed a normal appendix later that afternoon, and a few days later, unfortunately, I developed peritonitis and septicemia, which is an infection of the abdomen, and then an infection of the bloodstream, which can be fatal. So after a month on intravenous antibiotics, I still had the same right lower quadrant pain, albeit now chronic, that I had before. And my mom, who is an RN, said, why don't you go see this chiropractor? He does kinesiology, and he's helped a lot of people. So not knowing what to expect, I went in there. I described the pain in my right lower quadrant. He said, all right, hold out your arm, and I did, and he pressed on my abdomen, and my strong muscle weakened, and he said, you have a spasm of the valve between your small and large intestine called the ileocecal valve. And he said, lay down, and I did, and he adjusted my lumbar spine, my third lumbar vertebra, which in fact is the nerve supply to that sphincter. And about 2 minutes later, when I stood up, the pain was gone. And after I could retract my jaw from the floor to articulate, I asked him if he had done anything like that before. And told me two stories. The second one was the real clincher for me. And it was a 23-year-old young man who had come to his office for severe neck pain and headaches. He was 22 years old, in a wheelchair, paralyzed since birth. The medical history showed that he was a high forceps delivery, thus trauma to the upper cervical spine had ensued. After 2 to 3 months of chiropractic and physical therapy, the man could run. He had never walked a day in his life at age 22.
Isn't that incredible? Those are the stories that are replete within our specialty of applied kinesiology and chiropractic, and the things that drove a lot of us, because like you, I was headed to medical school and been accepted and on my way, and my wife had migraines from the time she was about 6 years old. It got progressively worse, and they wanted to fuse her neck because they were sure that it was a cord irritation. And we started her in a clinic just outside of Chicago, and that was a Gonstead clinic, very specific engineering type adjusting, and within 30 days, her headaches were gone. That's why I do what I do today, as well as the things you do. Bill, let's talk about your book, because it's fascinating. It really has me intrigued, the order, the way that you put this thing together. You talk about functional medicine. You talk about applied kinesiology. You've studied with some of the most amazing doctors and teachers, educators on the planet. And then you get into stories. I mean, you get into this person had this condition and we did this, and, you know, you show the bizarre application of medicine and how they continue to break people down and how simply it is to restore function in so many different ways. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, the true essence of what you describe in your book, the tune-up of what functional medicine, if our listeners want to call it that, truly is?
Well, basically, I talk about the fact that there's two new cost-effective, evidence-based systems that have co-evolved in the United States, both born in the U.S., that I believe are the have the ability to turn us away from the tipping point, create a turning point, because right now, with our GDP, our gross domestic product, at over 20% and growing, we're in severe harm's way financially as a country. Let me give you an example. Back in 2012, the total bill for healthcare was $1.7 trillion in the U.S. In 2016, it was $4 trillion. So we need some new tools. Just to give you an example, the Institute of Medicine, which is a branch of the NIH, wrote a book in 2011, Relieving Pain in America, and they identified the fact that 116 million adults live in chronic moderate to severe pain at a cost of approaching or over $1 trillion, and that the pain medications don't work, and that it is a national and moral imperative to find a cure. And they said we needed more integrative health strategies and new metrics. And I believe that this book brings forth those new strategies as both functional medicine and professional applied kinesiology. And the new metric, which we'll get into, I hope, a little bit, is MAPS, or understanding the fact that how the body responds to stress and trauma in predictable and reducible patterns that once they're understood, and this is widely taught and disseminated, will be able to lead us away from the danger we're facing of, as Malcolm Gladwell says, the tipping point.
We're definitely going to get into your terminology of MAP and condensed treatment patterns in the second half of the program. It's a fascinating application of the things that we do. It takes what we do, shifts it just a little bit, and the results are exponential. In the book, you know, we're talking about ileocecal valve problems and the pain that you were in that didn't go away and so forth. And there's a whole lot of reasons that you continue to have embedded irritation within the system, and it just never responds to traditional treatment. But you also talked about, and you mentioned in the book, kind of in the same structure, that this craziness of forcing people to have vaccines. And you made the statement that not only they're detrimental, but they also have, they don't protect the body at all. There's little or no effect in application. Let's touch upon that. We live in the Washington, D.C. area, and our listening audience today is about 26,000 people who are out there in various different modes and applications professionally. Why is that, Bill? This is something that I have to deal with every day in my practice and on our radio station continually. Why do vaccines and inoculations, as you set forth in the book, have no effect as far as raising immunological function? But more importantly, why are they so detrimental?
All right. Well, that's a great series of questions. I'd like to just step back for a minute and let you know that Neil Miller, MD, just wrote a book about the 400 case studies showing the harm of vaccines. And this was presented on Joe Mercola's website not too long ago, if people want to reference that. But at any rate, let's just step back. And people in this country have an unexpected high view of the result of vaccines that they maybe should take a second thought about. Let's just talk about the fact that, number one, all vaccines use aluminum as an adjuvant. And that's something that stimulates the immune system to respond. And aluminum happens to be 9 times more toxic to the nervous system than mercury. Just at the end of 2015, Dr. Ken Thompson, head of vaccine safety at the CDC, hired the leading whistleblower law firm in Cincinnati, Ohio, so that he would not lose his job at the CDC. And he reported the following. In 2004, that he had lied about the harm from the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine. He said, in fact, that it increased autism in black children by 249% and in all children by 79%. When you couple that with the knowledge from Dr. Russell Blaylock, a very world-renowned neurosurgeon and nutritionist who came forward recently and said that if you were to get 5 flu vaccines, that you would increase your chance of developing Alzheimer's by 1,000-fold. That kind of makes one stop short and realizes that we are about 34th in infant mortality around the world. And what Dr. Miller brought forth in his new book was the fact that there's a dose child death correlation between the number of vaccines and how quickly they're given. And our children are given more vaccines than any other country in the world more quickly. And that's definitely correlated in his book. So the more vaccines quickly given, the greater the risk of infant mortality. Russell Blaylock has coined the term immunoexcitotoxicity, which means that when you stimulate the immune system too great, it will continue to fire until the neurons themselves die.
You know, it's unbelievable when you think that the government in collusion with the CDC hid this information, continues to hide it. You talk about Brian Hooker's paper describing the claims by the CDC and since then, the many different whistleblowers that came out. A year ago, when Vaxxed first came out, or a year and a half ago, we had the pleasure of having the producer-director, Del Bigtree, on, and we went through this intimately, and we really got into the digs. But, from the British medical journals to things that we publish in this country, people be aware. But we're going to get back into your book intimately, Bill, The Tune-Up, Hot Medicine for Everybody. It's an amazing book. Bill, hang on the line. I really wanted to talk more, particularly about MAP. And we're coming up to that unfortunate time. It's called a break, and we have to pay attention to those who bring us the program. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. Indeed, I'm in studio, 888-630-9625. That's how you find me right now. And if you'd like to ask our guests, this is a very special program for me. It's one that's not only fascinating because of the subject matter, but also it's a friendly flow because of somebody who I respect probably more than most people I've ever met in my life, Dr. Bill Mackel. Bill, are you on?
Yes, I am, Tom.
Listen, let's get into this thing because, I've been having fun reading your book, and I thank you for, sending it out to Sue and I. And, the tune-up, hot medicine for everybody. And, we talked a little bit about how all this started, and you lay it out in a way that you tell about stories. You tell about people, you know, not doing well under traditional care and what happens and how they evolve and, you know, what they can do and so forth. You know, Bill, this is not just a book for our listeners. This is a book that every physician that doesn't do the work that we do, and I think some of the guys that do the work that we do, should be reading and understanding and imbuing. It really is significant. And I want to thank you for your work and applaud you for what you've done. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, we said, why did you do the book like this? But why'd you lay it out in the format? You lay it out from a way of, you talk about, you know, general health considerations, the way, you know, life is in not only these United States, but in the world today as far as health. You mentioned earlier that, you know, we're like number 35 on the totem pole and spend two times more than anybody else does. You get into dietary patterns and so forth. And then you get into all these amazing stories of people who have turned around completely from paralysis problems, you know, to talking about ileocecal and GERD patterns. And, you know, it goes on. And autism, which we just touched upon, you know, with the Vaxxed movie that came out in inoculations. But what target audience were you really meaning to embrace and encompass with this book?
Well, basically, what I wanted to do was I know that most women are the health caretakers for their family, and I did read the book, The Natural Superiority of Woman, and it was written in 1952 by...
And every man should remember that.
Yeah, and you should read the book, and I know more recently the Peels did a 3-year search around the world for the differences neurologically between the male and the female brain, and they found that the corpus callosum that connects the left and right hemispheres is traditionally larger in a woman, which means that a woman has a more global access to both sides of their brain, whereas a man's is coming more from the hunter perspective, deep in the left lobe of the left hemisphere. So I basically put together the book to attract it to the women of the world, since they're the gatekeepers for the health, and they tend to be, I think, smarter in terms of health for their family than men are. Men in my practice tend to make up less of a percentage. I think in most doctors' offices globally, it's about 75% women and 25% men.
Well, guys don't usually end up in a doctor's office until it's like way too late.
Exactly. And the way that I structured the book was divided in from sessions. Chronologically from newborns through the elderly, and gave four or five cases in different spans of ages, like 5 to 7 year periods, and just to show that this approach is efficacious for all ages and it has the ability to make a major change in anyone's life, no matter how old they are, whether they're a newborn with failure to thrive or bloody stools or drug-resistant infections, or an older person suffering with cognitive impairment and failure to be able to move. I know that recent chiropractic research has shown that, you know, having someone well-adjusted improves their gait and their walking ability. And this is a big deal because unintentional falls in the last 20 years have gone as the leading cause of unintentional death in the 78 years and older, is down to the 65 and older recently. And it's, we lose enough GDP to equal to $4 trillion a year from deaths by unintentional falls. So I think that one of the messages I wanted to get across is that, you know, staying tuned up is really a big deal. And it's something that people need to do lifelong, like, you know, it's a good thing to brush your teeth so you don't lose your teeth and they stay healthy. It's a good thing to stretch your spine. And, you know, a lot of people are involved in yoga and exercise. And putting all of this together allows people to develop lifestyle habits that will promote their health span.
It goes to the basis of applied kinesiology, which is our specialty, where you look at the triad. You look at structural components, embracing the nervous system, biochemistry, all those things that are exogenous, excite the body, and emotional stress being that the body doesn't know the difference between something that in fact happens and something you think about. Bill, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back into the second half. We're going to start talking about MAP. Dr. William Mako, Bill Mako is my guest, author, The Tune-Up, Hot Medicine for Everybody, and truly, truly an extraordinary physician, functional medical specialist, and applied kinesiologist above most. We'll be right back after these very important messages.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. I'm in studio, 888-630-9625. That's how you find us when we're here at the microphone. And when you'd like to talk to us when we're not here, it's real simple. Go to RozellCare.com. That's RozellCare.com. Or call the office at 703-698-7117 and ask for one of the doctors to call you back and answer your questions. We're there to serve you. We try to educate you as much as we possibly can. Very special program today, one very special for me as well, somebody who I respect above the cut. I mean, this guy is extraordinary when it comes to his application, understanding of applied kinesiology, but functional medicine. Author, The Tune-Up, Hot Medicine for Everyone. It's available right now, and it's online. You can find it there. We're going to get some of these books and put them in-house, and you're going to be able to get them from us. But Dr. Bill Mako. Bill, you still there?
Yes, I am, Tom.
All right, my friend. Let's go through this thing because, you know, I as I was reading it and I had – you know, the pleasure of sitting there talking to Sue about it, going back and forth. I said, look at this guy. Look, I mean, he lays it out in such a simple form, but more importantly, different types of conditions, everything from autism to even erectile dysfunction. You have a couple good antidotes in there. Guys, you know, can really turn their stuff around. Paralysis, voice problems, herniated discs, and it goes on and on. This is a book that every one of my readers should get their hands on, The Tune-Up, Hot Medicine for Everyone. Bill, let's talk about the concept of MAP that you were talking about and compressed treatment patterns. I mean, that's very different, and people don't think that way.
It's true. When you look at the human body and you understand Buckminster Fuller, one of the really creative minds of our world, had come up with the concept of tensegrity, which is the idea that everything affects everything else when you're dealing with a closed kinematic chain. And the human body is very much a closed kinematic chain. So just like the song, the knee bone's connected to the hip bone. And in writing the book, doing introspection, I realized that there were patterns in the human body that I was fixing over and over again to help come up with great case results, outcomes, and I extracted those, and that's the subject of a second book called Stress Maps, How the Body Responds to Stress and Trauma. But I think that this will act as a new metric given a few years to get integrated that will allow people to look at the book and say, hey, you know, I get these temporal headaches, or I get this vertigo, and no one really knows where it comes from, or I have a thyroid that's not functional, or shoulder pain that's not showing up on an MRI as a torn rotator cuff, et cetera, will give them the ability to look at this themselves as a confluence of several different systems that come together to form the whole. So I took the idea of the human body as one closed kinematic chain and broke it into four areas. The cranium, we as adults all have 22 movable cranial bones. They do not fuse. They move on small gear train mechanisms called sutures, and they move throughout life. And they do so for a very good reason, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But the 22 cranial bones can get jammed up and not move correctly, and the spine, the pelvis, and the 24 vertebrae above it with their 12 pairs of ribs and 21 discs can all get distorted in certain patterns. In understanding how your lower back is distorted can lead to some really good, quick results, outcomes in the hands of a really good, skilled professional applied kinesiologist. So the other two areas were the shoulder and the elbow and arm, meaning the upper extremity, and then your hip, knees, and feet being the lower extremity. So these four key core complexes can develop stress maladaptation patterns or MAPs, and once someone learns about them, and once the general public learns about these, it will really drive the demand for more integrative, cost-effective, safe approaches, which I call hot medicine, which is least invasive first.
You know, Bill, we talk about map patterns, and I like the relationship. I like the explanation behind it. And it's, you know, something that you and I are familiar with. And we look at the structural components and how it affects other systems within the body. Even starting from the basics of the brain spinal cord with 31 pairs of nerves that come out and they stimulate organs and muscle patterns, basis of applied kinesiology with all the other reflexes that are associated with that. But again, as I said, it's a very difficult concept to, you know, to get people to understand, particularly when our society is one that compartmentalizes and looks at symptom processes and tries to put the fire out of the symptom and not understanding the why is that, where these triggering mechanisms come from. You know, you make a mention in the book that, you know, when it came to emotional patterns in cranial plates and cranial sutures, and you said until you had a certain observation, you didn't fully understand and get how the cranial mechanisms would affect the emotional pathways of the body. Why is that so important, you know, across the board? You know that it's not just emotional, but it's also physical. It's also biochemical. The cranial plates evolve. You know, if we look at the homunculus, the embryo and how it begins to unfold, that's where all this starts. And you do a great job of relating that, but you touch on that just a little bit because that's part of this whole map pattern.
Right. Basically, I'm really excited about having been the receiver of the gift of seeing something. As Dr. Goodhart said, I had an answer to a question. I didn't know what it was. And that happened to me one day a long time ago in practice when a massage therapist came to me with severe sciatica down her leg, and she was crying when I was working on her. And I said, "Are you in that much pain that you're crying?" She said, "No, I have empty nest syndrome." And I had never heard of that. I said, "Well, excuse me, but would you tell me what that is?" She said, "Yeah, a year ago my oldest child left for college, and I haven't been able to stop crying since that time." And I, because of the acute nature of her sciatica, I saw her the next day, and when she came in, she said, "You know, Dr. Bill, you cured my empty nest syndrome." She said, "Ever since you adjusted me yesterday, I'm no longer crying, and my emotions have, you know, evened off." And that kind of opened up my my eyes and my ears to something bigger going on. And I think all of us, I think as humans on this planet, are realizing that there is something bigger going on now. And I think that bigger going on now is the fact that what we're trying to catch up with the brilliant minds in quantum physics. And there was a gentleman named Larry Dossey, who's a medical doctor, written a number of books, and his most recent book a couple of years ago is One Mind. And in this book, he interviews all of the living Nobel laureates in quantum physics, who are arguably the smartest people on the planet. And their takeaway of the book is that we are, and all plants and all animals share the same coherent consciousness, which is beyond time, space, and dimension. And so knowing that consciousness is what creates everything, and that the bodies that we get to live in for a while are driven by consciousness, and that consciousness seems to be the creative substance of everything, including, you know, the fact that all of our neurons, I think there's about 300 billion in the brain, are likened to the 300 billion galaxies in our Milky Way. It's pretty cool that there's this kind of macro and microcosm.
Yeah, when you get into the discussions of quantum physics, quantum mechanics, and you start really understanding that everything is interconnected, it begins to, even those of us who've been aware of it, blows your mind. It's just, you know, oh my God, how can this all? It goes back to an original observation of many, many years ago, just after World War II, something that you're familiar with called the 100th monkey effect, or threshold phenomena. And, you know, when it's known, you know, when you reach a certain point, when it's known by a certain percentage of people, suddenly it's known by everyone. And the understanding is that it's there. It's in the ethos, if you want to use that that explanation. Mm-hmm. Your book really, Bill, you know, when you start reading, we'll say in between the lines, brings so much of that. How can this be, you know, has to be a question that most people will have as they begin to read through it. You bring it straight up and you talk about conditions and opportunity here as far as the body can respond. But when you talk about map patterns and you break it down into several segments, Bill, get into this compressed treatment pattern that you talked about in the book. You know, you analyze a patient, you talk about the emotional interlinks between organs and muscle patterns, and then you go ahead and treat, and exponentially you can unravel something in a very short period of time, but you're doing compressed treatment over a prolonged period of time. What's right. that really all about?
So basically I had a situation I had to deal with years ago in practice, and I had the good fortune to lecture to the members of the Young Presidents Organization. These are CEOs that are under 40 years of age, have $5 million or more a year, and have 50 or more employees. And I got to lecture to them and became a big hit with their organization. And there's 40,000 of them globally. And they would fly to my office from all over the world, and they'd say, here's this problem, and I, you know, need it fixed yesterday. Do what you can do. So all of a sudden, I found myself in a crucible or a pressure cooker. So I had to use every skill set that I could put together to correct these people in a one or two visit, like an evening and the next morning before they left, wherever they were from around the world. And in that work of correcting all of these maladaptation patterns in their feet, their pelvis, their spine, their cranium, upper and lower extremities, and then delving into the reflexes, dealing with all the digestive organs. I mean, we're really blessed to be students of such a genius like George Goodhart, who was able to, from his research in acupuncture, find that there was a hologram embedded in the body with all of the muscles in the external part of the body related to the internal glands and organs, meaning that all of your muscles share the same stem cell origin as your internal glands and organs, which makes a professional applied kinesiology such a wonderful tool, because you're able to use all of the tenets of modern medicine, whether they're MRIs or lab work, and then put that together on an individualized basis. And in 5 minutes, we can take a walk through a person's digestive, their immune system, their endocrine system, their cardiovascular system, and have a really good idea of what organ systems are in need of upregulation.
You know, George Goodhart was a gift to this planet.
Absolutely.
You know, those of us who had the pleasure, the privilege, the opportunity of knowing George, he lived until he was 90. He practiced till a week before he passed away. George was the father of applied kinesiology, and his observations were second to none. He was an incredible systems person, but he took it beyond, and you know, to coin the ethos comment that you made earlier, he was able to link so many other pathways together, things that we wouldn't have thought about, you know, if it hadn't been for him. And so subsequently, people like you and the writings that you do and when we teach. And so for the next week, you and I are going to have the privilege of sitting with about 230 doctors from around the world, from the United States and different. And these truly are eagles. We're going to fly with eagles next week. You know, people who are insightful, they're intuitive, and you know, hopefully you're going to have a ton of these books with you, so I can, you know, grab a case and take it back to the office. But nevertheless, these folks, we learn from them, they learn from us, and then as we disseminate the information, all of a sudden it catches on. There's, you know, we're seeing an expansion of the functional medicine model. The people who are doing spin-offs in applied kinesiological techniques. It's important. Bill, let's get into this book a little bit more, simply because of the fact that, you know, as I've gone through it and you know, Sue keeps grabbing it from me and she looks and she says, this is great stuff. And I said, yeah, he's going to make me write again. And, you know, you challenged me, right? So, but in the back of the book, you've got an index. It's laid out beautifully. It describes a lot of the words that, you know, people hear, but they really don't get. And you do it very plainly, very specifically. The application is great. You put together some, you know, some basic patterns of do this and you can get that. And if you look, but also, you really do a phenomenal job of making something that is complex understandable. And that, you know, everything from pain patterns and how they work. I mean, again, every doctor who does not do functional medicine in any way should be looking at this book in depth and working through it. Bill, I want to take you through real quickly. We don't have a lot of time left, but, you know, from birth to death, what happens as the body adapts to small trauma? There was a quote that you made in the book that it's not the mountains, you know, but it's the grains of sand that begins to wear people down, the little things that accumulate over a period of time. And you lay it out so beautifully in your book, The Tune-Up. How do you see that happening?
Well, basically, I think that, you know, if you go back to the word stress, and, the new living scholar of stress prefers to use the word allostasis. At any rate, we have we know that 5% of disease is caused to inheriting some bad genes, and the other 95% of diseases throughout life are due to an inability of the central nervous system to adapt and respond to stress adequately. And you can't read with someone talking in your other ear because you only have about 2% of your nervous system to work with volitionally. They used to say 10%, then 5%, and who knows, in a little while it'll be point something percent. But at any rate, the two hands of your nervous system that work autonomically or automatically are your sympathetics coming out of your throat and your chest and your parasympathetics coming out of your head and your sacrum. And your parasympathetics allow you to rest, repair, regenerate, and your sympathetics are supposed to be used short term, like to drive around a dog that ran out in front of your car, etc. But with the new knowledge of the heart being 5,000 times greater in its energy field than any other organ in the body, and it actually gives the human body its human biofield, the heart's energy field extends 3 meters around the body.
That's amazing.
Your heart preconceives incoming information before your nervous system. So say you see someone you love, your heart's going to feed it into the prefrontal area in the front of your brain.
Bill, hang on to that thought, buddy. We're going to make a short break. We're going to come back, and you and I are going to end the program, but I want you to continue that thought. Don't go away.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live, as you do every Sunday, 12 noon. And those of you who are on the Eastern or the Western Seaboard, you know the math. Get it done. And thank you for those who listen either online or directly through Armed Forces Radio. We appreciate your service. Thank you so very much. Dr. William Mako, my guest today. We're talking about his new book, The Tune-Up, Hot Medicine for Everybody. This is an incredible book, and it's available. All you have to do is go online and find it and do it today. I mean, truly, this is a book that you need to own. It's one of the most insightful and applicable books, gives you a little insight into the outreach of what we really all are about and the things that affect us. I mean, it's not just a cookbook, and it really isn't. It's one that explains and describes and imparts understanding very significantly. Dr. Bill. Let's finish this up, my friend. We got a couple more minutes, and you started talking about the heart and how it reaches out. And, you know, when you walk into a room, you know before you even have a conversation or you're aware of something, but it extends far beyond that. We're talking about information that is there in, we'll call it universal intelligence for lack of better explanation at this point.
Right. So when your heart sees something that it's it loves, it sends it into your frontal lobes of your brain, and it stimulates your rest repair part of your nervous system. However, if it picks up something negative from the news or something else, it will feed it into the base of your brain, the reptilian brain, and put you in an immediate fight or flight state. And given that our kids are on their electronic devices, probably playing some kind of a war video game for 10 hours a day, and that the average American tunes into TV with news breaks and prescription drug ads continuously for 4 hours a day, you can see why people are stressed out without even having to do anything else and the rigors of the daily life.
It's called programming, buddy.
Yeah. So basically we're dealing with people whose nervous systems are in a fight or flight mode, which then decreases their ability to digest and assimilate food and nutrition. Tom, remember we used to say to people, you are what you eat in the good old days?
Yep.
Then we get smarter and we say, well, you are what you eat, digest, assimilate, detoxify, and eliminate. So the smarter we have, the more things we have to check out. And I think making people aware that the key to a good, long, healthy life is to promote those things that stimulate their parasympathetics, that rest, repair, regenerate. And certainly that's what happens when someone gets a good full body tune-up. They're reset to the good functioning of a whole nervous system.
Now, when I start with a patient that comes in the office, I tell them that unless their mom and dad screwed up, you know, tremendously, they were born at least with the capacity to restore normal function. And then what happens is life. You know, they get hurt, they bump in brain. They could be either significant or small. They eat things that they shouldn't, anything that's exogenous, including electrical fields, and they stress. The problem is that nobody really gives us the tools of how to begin to balance and handle these things, ultimately producing symptoms that are ignored or mitigated with drugs, and then they produce pathology, the things that have destructive patterns that in many cases sometimes are irreversible because of time. But you do such a great job. I mean, this is over the top. I am so happy to call you friend, I applaud you because we're colleagues. This is a tremendous contribution to the world of healthcare and wellness, and it's a book that everybody should own, The Tune-Up, Hot Medicine for Everyone. And, you know, on the cover, you say Hippocratic Order of Treatment, least invasive first. And unfortunately, in society today, I think we forget that application, that to do no harm is the primacy of what we do with our patients. Bill, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule. I look forward to see you and your lovely wife this week in Washington. We'll get together and not only talk about this, but other things as well.
I look forward to it, Tom. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Have really a great day, Bill. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
What an amazing doctor. This is a man who I've had tremendous respect for over a period of over 35 years, and his writings, his presentations academically are second to none. Anytime Dr. Bill is presenting, I'm always there listening to his stories, his applications, his brilliance. He's truly an amazing doctor. You know, we try to bring you these small pieces of data so you can put them together yourself, so you can understand that health is a do-it-yourself program. It's something that you can take active control over, learning not only, you know, that there are things that you can do, but, you know, who do you go to when something happens? You know, when you have a problem of, you know, emotional sadness and you're anxious, you know, when you have a problem, guys, unfortunately, with erectile dysfunction, that's not normal. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You shouldn't have that. And more in Western civilization, we're dealing with problems that are a result of our environment. You know, Dr. Bill said early on the show that, you know, we stand number 35, 36 on the totem pole relative to wellness and health in industrialized civilizations. That's not okay when we spend two times as much as the nearest competitor in addition to all that. How do we do that? But more importantly, how do we reverse the trend? And it starts with education. And educate yourself. Pick up the book, The Tune-Up, Hot Medicine for Everyone by Dr. William M. Makel. Brilliant, brilliant functional medical doctor and applied kinesiologist. We're at that point of the program where we say adieu until next week, and we're going to try to bring you more that you can apply in your day-to-day lives. Don't forget, we love you. Bye.